We can all join together for Psalm 76, found on page 797. Together in Jude, God is known, whose name is great in Israel, whose abode has been established in Salem, whose dwelling place is in Zion. There God broke the flashing arrows, the shield, the sword, and the weapons of war. You are glorious, more majestic than the everlasting mountains. The stout hearts stripped of their soil. They sank into sleep. All the soldiers were able to use their hands. At your rebuke, O God of Jacob, both rider and horse lay stunned. You indeed are to be feared. Who can stand before you when once your anger is roused? From the heavens you uttered judgment. The earth feared and was still. When God arose to establish judgment to save all the oppressed of the earth. Surely human wrath shall praise you. The residue of wrath you will gird upon you. Make vows to the Lord your God and keep them. Let those who surround God bring gifts to the one of the revered, who cuts off the spirit of monarchs and makes the rulers of the earth afraid.
Our second reading from the Hebrew Bible comes from the book of Judges, chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. I brought this passage up on Thursday night for our Bible study, and most people wouldn't read it because they said there's too many hard names. This is one of those that makes liturgists shudder, me too. I thought originally that I would just say all those names with gusto and you could ignore them. And then I made the mistake of looking them up in the Bible dictionary, so now I think I know how they're supposed to be pronounced. So we'll see how it goes. Bear with me. Judges 4, 1 through 7, found on page 210 in the Hebrew Bible of your pew Bible. The Israelites again did what was evil in the sight of the Lord after Ehud died. So the Lord sold them into the hand of King Jabin of Canaan, who reigned in Hazor. The commander of his army was Sisera, who lived in Harosheth HaGoyim. Then the Israelites cried out to the Lord for help, for he had 900 chariots of iron and had oppressed the Israelites cruelly 20 years. At that time, Deborah, a prophetess, wife of Lapidoth, was judging Israel. She used to sit under the palm of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim. And the Israelites came up to her for judgment. She sent and summoned Barak, son of Abinoam, from Kadesh in Naphtali, and said to him, "The Lord, the God of Israel, commands you, go take position at Mount Tabor, bringing 10,000 from the tribe of Naphtali and the tribe of Zebulun. I will draw out Sisera, the general of Jabin's army, to meet you by the Wadi Kishon with his chariots and his troops, and I will give him into your hand." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Our epistle lesson today is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. They can be found in your pew Bible on page 193. Hear these words. "Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers and sisters, you do not need to have anything written to you, for you yourselves know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. When they say, 'There is peace and security,' then sudden destruction will come upon them, as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and there will be no escape. But you, beloved, are not in darkness, for that day to surprise you like a thief, for you are all children of light and children of the day. We are not of the night or of darkness. So then let us not fall asleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who are drunk, get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober and put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has destined us not for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build up each other, as indeed you are doing. The word of God to the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Our gospel lesson this week, as for the past several and for several coming, comes from the gospel of Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Matthew 25, verses 14 through 30. You can find this in your pew Bible on page 27 of the New Testament. This is Jesus speaking to his apostles. For it is as if a man going on a journey summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. The one who had received the 5 talents went off at once and traded with them and made 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had the 2 talents made 2 more talents. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. Then the one who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more talents, saying, Master, you handed over to me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. And the one who had the 2 talents also came forward, saying, Master, you handed over to me 2 talents. See, I have made 2 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will now put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Then the one who had received the 1 talent also came forward, saying, Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. But his master replied, You wicked and lazy slave. You knew, did you, that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I did not scatter? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and on my return I would have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one with the 10 talents. For to all those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. As for this worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Not an easy lesson. But I tell you what, I'm going to ask right now if I could have 3 people to volunteer to join me up here at the pulpit. Any 3 people? Come on, I don't embarrass you too much. This won't be embarrassing. Well, great. Look at, they just step right up. Very good. So we have Daniel and Ruby and Sandy. My mind pulled a complete blank. Okay. Now, thank you for volunteering. I have for each of you a shiny gold dollar coin. So they each have a gold dollar in their hands. Now, for you three who volunteered, you can do whatever you want with it. But I'm going to ask you to tell all of us what you're planning to do with that dollar. Now, the most important thing about this dollar is that it belongs to God. So I'm entrusting God's property to each of you according to your abilities, as the scripture says. So I'm going to ask you now, what will you do with this dollar, God's dollar?
Okay, Daniel, what are you going to do with your dollar?
Seems wise to maybe give it to like Aurora Crop Walk. Or to Logan for the breakfast.
That would work too. Okay.
Well, since I already have this dollar in my collection, now I got to think what I want to do with the next dollar. Because I always check these dollars to see if they have a P or a D. And for some reason or other, these have neither. So what I'm going to do with this dollar is I'm going to put it in Aurora Inner Church's little box of money. And we use that money to buy new underwear and clothing for people who come in as our clients.
Okay, so Sandy's decision was conditional. Had it been a valuable dollar, might have a different outcome.
And I guess mine is going to go to Inner Church to buy some canned goods or whatever we can get, because that would be the best way to take this dollar and use it to help somebody.
Very good. Let's give these folks a round of applause for their guts. Thank you all.
That was unscripted. I didn't know how it would turn out. Nobody offered to take me to lunch. No, that illustration, that kind of silliness, but it was really meant to show you an example of something similar to what happened in this parable that Jesus told in the Gospel of Matthew. Now, depending on which translation of the Bible you read, if you are reading the New Revised Standard like we did, that story, as you may know, is titled The Parable of the Talents. Well, I want to explore with you now for a few minutes what this parable meant to the original audience, but also what it might mean to followers of Christ in the 21st century as well. What is Jesus saying to you in the parable of the talents? Well, in many respects, Jesus was telling a story of hyperbole, as he did in so many of his parables and lessons. Hyperbole, as you may well be aware, is purposeful exaggeration with the goal of attracting people's attention and getting them to think deeply about the story's meaning. Now, just because this story has exaggeration does not mean that it is not true, nor that it does not have an important lesson for us. In this story, as you heard, the wealthy man has left a lot of money in the hands of his slaves. Not just a dollar coin that I offered to these three volunteers. You might well remember from other stories and sermons. In fact, a few probably months back, there was an image on the front of your bulletin of a denarius, a coin. That coin had the image of Caesar on it. Well, that coin, a denarius, was actually the daily wage for a laborer of the time of Jesus. This wealthy man, on the other hand, was putting his slaves in charge of talents. And if you were a member of that society, you would know that a talent is equal to about 6,000 denarii. That's more than 15 years' wages for a common laborer of the time. So clearly, this wealthy guy was entrusting a whole lot of money to his slaves, even to the guy who only got one talent. That was 15 years' worth of labor for him. Well, parables are a way that Jesus told his early followers, and each of us as well, about the sacred workings of God's kingdom, how life is meant to be lived when we take seriously our call to follow Jesus. This is what life is like in God's kingdom. Jesus is telling us that in the kingdom of heaven and in our very lives, everything we have is a gift from God, an extravagant gift from God. And we are meant to take care of God's property as good stewards of these gifts. As the parable tells us, God places these gifts in our hands according to our individual abilities and expects that we will make good use of God's gifts. Those who do well, those who are trustworthy in a few things, are rewarded with even more gifts and the opportunity to enter into the joy of our Master. This is, in effect, God's promise of salvation and eternal life. This is a parable, and therefore a story of hyperbole, so we may well be a bit shocked at the treatment of the third slave who distrusted his master. That shock may have been the desire of Jesus. He may want us to respond in that way, but do not deceive yourself. Hyperbole or not, Jesus is saying that there will be a day of judgment for each one of us. Well, let's together, for a brief moment, look at four examples of the talents that Jesus entrusts to each of us as modern disciples of Jesus Christ. Well, first of all, there's the very traditional understanding of the story, the understanding that comes to mind when our Bible translation refers to this great sum of money as a talent. Our modern ear may hear that word, and we likely think of a talent as a skill or ability. The dictionary tells us that a talent is a special natural ability or aptitude, an innate ability, aptitude, or faculty, something that comes naturally to us. When we hear that word talent, we often think of the church context, where talents are our spiritual gifts, those things that we might offer to God in terms of ministry. Maybe you have the talent of teaching Sunday school or singing in the choir, being a liturgist or helping with communion. Or maybe your talent is to assist with our community meals. Now, these are very clearly important to God and to God's church. But listen to this. You cannot hide behind the false humility that would say that you don't have any gifts that you could offer to God. Jesus tells us that the Holy Spirit has given gifts to each of us, to each one of us. And these gifts need to be discovered and they need to be utilized to bring glory to God. Well, secondly, there are those among us here this morning who have used their gifts in a very important way. Those folks are our military veterans who we celebrated yesterday on Veterans Day. These men and women have made a commitment to God and to our country that required a level of sacrifice and service that is truly extraordinary. I ask that in the privacy of your prayers, you commit our veterans and their families. And further, I would ask you to thank a veteran the next time you have the opportunity, to thank him or her for making that sacrifice and offering that service to keep us all safe and free. Thirdly, I want you to consider the literal meaning of this parable, a talent as actual money. Each of us here this morning has been blessed by God with prosperity in greater abundance than most of the world's people. By the standards of the vast majority of our sisters and brothers around the world, each of us is a rich person. You may not see it that way, but the rest of the world does. But think about that third slave whose response to his stewardship challenge was to bury the talent in the ground, where it could not work to further God's kingdom. Many of us, many of you, do not offer back to God the amount of money that each of us ought to give. The Bible and our church call us to tithe a full 10% of all that we have and all that we are back to the church. That's a high standard, but that is, in fact, what each of us is called to do.
Consider also that this third slave buried his money in the ground. How many of us are planning to bury our money? Each of us really needs to consider offering that tithe to the church in our wills. There's no reason why each of us cannot give back 10% now and 10% when we die. It is God's money after all. Finally, I want you to think seriously about the gift that God has given to you in the form of your human body. In very real terms, your body is only a loaner. You use it while you're alive, but then it does you no good once you head off to heaven. Today is National Donor Sabbath for churches all over this country. In fact, in the United Methodist Church, today is Organ and Tissue Donation Sunday. That's the point of the bulletin. That's the point of the insert. Now, I know that many of you have become organ donors and have made that commitment on your driver's license. How many of you have done that? Very good. That's excellent. But I'm asking that each of you spend a little bit of time this week over a cup of coffee or tea to read through the material in your bulletin insert about ways that you can share your tissues and your organs with people who really and desperately need this gift that you can offer. You have living talents that you probably don't think about often, but God is asking that you be a good steward of your human body as well. For it is as if a man going on a journey summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents. To another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his ability, and then he went away. My sisters and brothers, Jesus is calling you to be a trustworthy slave with God's talents, with all of the gifts that God has entrusted to your care and use. I pray that you will respond faithfully to Jesus' call. Amen.